T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors. It's time for Laurie and Lynn. Local talk to start your weekend right. And now, Laurie and Lynn on WILK.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling much better than I was over the weekend.
That's a good thing.
Oh, I think I had one of those cold things that everybody's been getting, and whatever it was, you know, it's gone away. So I'm really looking forward to whatever. We will be in the thick of it as you're listening to this, or just starting the thick of it, this crazy weekend of snow, sleet, freezing rain, and whatever.
You're looking forward to it?
I'm looking forward to seeing what comes of it, because we have had these kind of prognostications from the weather people, and it turned out to be a nothing. You know what I mean? Just a... Don't know what the accumulations are going to be with the snow. If we have the snow, we could have a dusting. We could have a foot. I have no idea. But, you know, this is interesting to see how it all will develop, because, frankly, we really haven't had very much winter.
And that's good, because I don't mind it.
I know. It's fine with me.
I can't stand it.
It's fine with me.
But I will tell you, I don't mind the cold at all,
yeah.
But I just can't stand snow. So... the only thing it does force you to do, and I say this all the time, it forces everyone to slow down.
It does.
And on a Saturday, you know, if there's nothing happening, it's not the worst thing, but...
Well, maybe you'll try out your fireplace.
No, that doesn't make it. I like it, but it turns off the heat because it thinks it's too hot and it...
And then the upstairs is freezing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but it I don't care, because I'm fine. Whatever it does, it does. But I do not like snow, and I don't like skiing, and I don't like any of that kind of stuff.
Then everybody says, well, then why are you living in northeastern Pennsylvania?
Yeah, well, that's because we were born and raised here.
I have
no choice. But, so I don't, I don't really mind the cold, like snip the weather, the crisp. I like that. But with it so warm the last couple days,
yeah.
Johnny and I were talking before we went on air, and Johnny's like, he said last week he was thinking, oh, this is like a March day in the spring.
Yeah.
And he said, then he reminded himself, it's only January. We have a long way to go. So I was feeling the same way, very springy. Some of the sunsets, though, are absolutely beautiful
they
in the winter, aren't they?
They
here
are
around
spectacular.
Here, gorgeous.
Yep.
But let's see what happens. I do think it's going to be warmer than they thought originally, and that, I think, is part of the reason, isn't it? I think somewhere I saw it was going to be 40 degrees. How are you going to get that kind of snow with 40 degrees?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying a lot of it doesn't make sense.
Downplay it, babes.
But as they say, it is what it is. And so what have we got to do about it? Nothing.
I can't do a thing.
So we have to do some birthdays.
We do.
Isla Harper DiNapoli will be 1 year old.
Isla.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yes. Her birthday officially is Friday.
The 17th.
But we will be celebrating. If I should put that in big, big capital letters, if the weather allows us to drive to New York on Saturday. So we'll see what happens.
Oh,
you'll know,
man.
Next time. And then her father's birthday is 6 days away from that. And
yes.
He will be in L.A. because... I know I said this before, but I'm so proud of him that he actually was asked to be a member of the Academy.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's, you know,
I don't know if you said it on air. I think you told me in person.
Okay,
I don't remember you saying it on air.
He is officially a member of the Academy of, what do they call that? Of the Performing Arts or something?
Arts and Sciences or something?
Yes, whatever that one is that gives out the Academy Awards.
I'm making that up. I have no idea. I think it is that. But
he is.
Here, we'll Google. But, well, that's good. He's such a good guy. When's his birthday? The 23rd?
23rd.
Okay, so then we have Sean Cadden Foley's birthday, Tuesday the 21st.
Oh, good.
He will be the big 2-6. Mm-hmm. And then next week I'll give another shout-out, but what the heck, Tommy Foley will be 31 on January 27th.
And then somebody's comes right after
and then
that.
Mine comes right after that in February.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So lots of stuff happening.
That reminds me of something I wanted to tell you because I know you love this person. This is my brother, her favorite paper
boy. Oh, yeah, and his birthday's right after mine.
Yeah, his birthday's February 6th.
He's Ronnie Reagan's birthday.
Okay, I didn't know that. But anyway, I sent him a box of cookies for Christmas, and I packed that sucker inside out. And then I put it inside of a priority mailbox, you know, one of those red, white ones. Okay. So put all the stuff on it, sent it out. And last week I said, please tell me that you got my cookies. He said, no, I have not. And I said, okay. So I said that I would have to go back to my office and dig in my pile of receipts that I had and get the tracking number and put it into the system and see what happened. Well, apparently it got to where it was supposed to get to, but they delivered it twice, took it back to the post office, and then
They ate it. They opened it.
No,
and ate
they
it.
Didn't know what it was. Then they sent it to Seattle, Washington.
For what reason?
I don't know. When I looked at it, I just started to laugh. I said, "Oh, why? It's not even close to the zip code.
On two separate coasts.
Right, from Florida."
Oh my God!
It's the West Coast. It was insane.
And so where are they now?
They're in Seattle, Washington.
And someone just tell them to open them and eat
them. Well, no, I have to. I put
Could
in
you
a
imagine
missing
they're
mail
crumbs
report.
Now, Lynn?
No, they aren't. The way I pack those babies, there's
that.
Not a thing that can get in there.
Jeez.
So
Mary.
I told my brother. He was hysterical about that. He said that's just way too funny. So I said, we'll see what happens. At least we know where they are now. Why they don't come back to Florida?
Oh God. Oh, dear God. Well,
that was so funny.
But what are you going to do?
It's a lesson that you have to remember to keep those receipts.
Yes,
because
you do,
that tracking number can tell you volumes.
Everything. Well, I have to tell you that it's funny you say that because Tommy, who is, you know, he just moved into his new pad on the October 1st, okay,
yeah.
In near Tyler and Jess and Eiler, mm-hmm. in the financial district. Mm-hmm. And so I got these really cool Christmas cards this year. There were just one pack, and there were only five of them. They were pop-up cards, mm-hmm. and when you pop this one up, it was the skyline of New York City. And it had foil paper on it. It had the Christmas tree at Rockefeller Center. It was Statue of Liberty. It was beautifully done.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is really cool. Tommy's living here now. I sent one to Sean because he was there this summer and will be there again this summer. And he accepted the offer from that law firm, which is in New York City. So I thought it was appropriate for him. And then, of course, I gave one to Frank Blasey because he still keeps his out because it's just so pretty. He keeps it on his desk because he has a place in New York and goes in and, you know, does a lot of Broadway research, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought they were really cool. So I sent Tommy, and I kept saying, Tommy, did you get my Christmas card? Because he never said anything. Sean said he got it. Frank, of course, I gave it to him. Nope. And then I forgot about it. So I never even asked. Yesterday, I get the mail.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
I put it on, and it was a month, almost a month to the day that I mailed it. I put it, I'm like, who's pretty writing is this in gold pen? Because I even put the outside in gold pen, and the inside I wrote because there was a lot of gold and silver. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's time. And it said undeliverable on it. Return to sender.
Well, so, at least they returned it.
But undeliverable? I called them. Right. I said, all right, Tommy, here's what I want to know. Is your address da-da-da Nassau Street, apartment such and such, New York 10038? And he said, yes. I said, you know what? Why?
Maybe somebody never changed the mailboxes downstairs.
Oh, man.
Who knows?
So I'm like, okay, Tommy.
After the super.
I'm like, it's in your box with all the other mail that continues to come to my house. Because, you know, he lived with me this summer for a couple months.
Right.
And so now I'll just give it to him. I said, because you're going to want to keep it. It's just too pretty not to. So, anyway.
Well, I'd like to know where you got those cards.
I'll tell you exactly where I got them. In Home Goods in East Stroudsburg.
So you bought them in as a retail thing.
I did. Yes, because I'm a card snob, mm-hmm. okay? I mm-hmm. like better cards. I don't like cheap cards, and I like cards to, they have to have a specific thing, and I'm just very super picky. One thing I noticed that in these stores, such as in the last couple of years I've been doing it, when my kids were little, I took a picture and I used to put them in a picture card, and I love those. Yeah. And I had them printed and the whole thing. So now all of the stores owned by TJ Maxx Corp, which I happen to own stock in, TJ Maxx, Home Goods, Home Sense, some other Sierra or something like that, and then, of course, Marshalls. Mm-hmm. So anytime you go into these stores, they have these, like, areas where you can buy all kinds of boxed cards, and a lot of them are really high quality, because just like anything else, they get whatever the store ships from that either they didn't sell. I don't know how that whole store stuff works, but you get all these. The selection is always fabulous. Mm-hmm. So I happen to be in there, and this is a brand new store in East Stroudsburg, but it only opened, I think, in November.
Yeah.
So we happened to be in a couple weeks after it opened, and I was in the back of the, and I'm looking, and it wasn't even where the cards were. There was this box kind of in a little bit of a remote location, and I looked at it. I thought, oh my God, these are fabulous. So I bought, and they were the only one. I have not been able, every place I've gone and since, because they always have sales at Christmas, and after Christmas they get rid of it, and I have yet to. But if you open up my drawer in over my desk in my kitchen, my cabinet, there are about 15 to 20 boxes of Christmas cards. because what I do is I don't mail them anymore.
And
the reason is because it's psychological. My father used to give us, when my father was living, every year, he would give us our stamps to mail for 150 cards. So he'd give us 150 stamps, and he'd hand them to us and say, here, this is for you to mail your Christmas cards. And I used to love that. Uh-huh. And then I even made my own. I stenciled my own holly leaf one year and initialed it like a big shot, you know, like doing my... It was only stenciled, but it was a holly leaf, and it was so pretty. And I keep thinking every year I'm going to do that again.
Yeah,
I don't.
Well, but couldn't you tell from the box that you bought where they came from, the manufacturer?
I think I have one left, and I probably still have the box, so I'll have to look at it.
Yeah, because that sounds like a lot. I'd love to send those.
They're fabulous. But anyway, so I don't send them out. So what I do is I keep a couple little boxes in my car for the whole month of December and little after.
Okay.
And then if I'm giving a gift, I quick write a card and hand it that way.
Well, what if you got somebody who is a relative that lives in...
I still don't send them. I just don't send the card.
Well, what are you going to do, drive to Virginia?
What do you mean? No, I'm saying I only give a card to someone I'm giving a gift to.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's all I mean. I don't go crazy, but I like having the gifts. I like having a selection of cards, and they really do have a great selection.
Okay.
So that's my rant on the card situation.
All righty then.
But it is. It's good. And we're going to take, on that note... We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Laurie and Lynn Show, and we'll be right back.
It's Saturday morning with Laurie and Lynn. Now, back to Laurie and Lynn.
Good morning.
Good Good morning.
My name is Lynn Evans. I am a managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm designed specifically for baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse that's available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and 25 other places.
Okay, boomer. And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business. And today on the Today Show, I didn't see it because I got there. I watched it after it was over. But they have this young reporter whose name is Savannah. I don't know her last name, not to be confused with Savannah Guthrie. But her name is Savannah. She's a young kid. And then they were talking about millennials and why the difference between, like, where the okay boomer thing came and how they got this group together. Harry Smith was on, and it seemed kind of neat. But we need not forget that baby boomers, for the most part, are those raised millennials.
Yes. So we have to blame ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, yeah.
There you go. But anyway, Lynn, I wanted to say, too, last Saturday I was at the commissioner's party. They had their inaugural party at the Scranton Cultural Center. It was very nicely done. And I was there. Nice turnout. And so, again, we say congratulations to Jerry Notariani and Deb Dominick and to Chris Shermack and everybody. Michael Gilmartin was telling me, because he was at the later party. I went to the earlier one. And he said that they all spoke. And he said that Jerry, introduced that Chris was there, and he brought him up, and they spoke. And he said that Chris, and I don't know him. I've never really met him yet, but everybody talks about what a nice, nice man he is. Mm-hmm. So it's good things are, they addressed the situation about, all the little bit of turmoil and things and they addressed that and said we're all working together, and so it's a good thing. So, but it was a nice night, and hats off to Sue Notariani and Al Durunda, who kind of put this thing together for them, and it was a very nice evening.
Very good.
And we had a beautiful baby shower that we went to prior to that, Deb Peterson and yours truly. Mm-hmm. We were at the Colonnade, which is absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I had a Bloody Mary, which was so good.
Oh, okay.
And Liz Baldy and Michael Baldy are having their first baby, and so we had their bridal shower, and it was beautiful. That's a beautiful building.
No, baby shower, not a
bridal. What did I say? Bridal? Sorry, baby. Baby, the bridal's already over.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, they're doing
congratulations.
Uh-huh.
That's great news.
So Miss Diane and Mike will be having their fifth grandchild.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
That's very nice.
Yes. So it was a lovely time. We had a good time. And then we went to another party later. So we were at church in between.
Wow. You were hobnobbing at that time.
Yeah, on a Saturday, too. You know me and my Saturdays.
Yes, I know. Uh-huh. That's why I was going to say that. But
yeah, and that's why when I didn't hear from you, I thought, what's going on with my Lynn? So
sick.
I knew something must have been up. And didn't I call you on the Sunday during the game to say, oh, Henry?
No.
Oh, he played and he won.
I know.
Yay, hip, hip, hooray.
I was expecting a
a call?
A call. Let's just leave it.
Like I did with the Phillies guy?
Yes.
I'll never forget that call.
Just
Lynn,
call.
Check out the first baseman on the Phillies. And Lynn's response was this, oh, my. Oh, God. That was good.
Well, it'll be an interesting Super Bowl in a couple weeks.
Yes. Are we going to be at the DiNapoli household?
We are indeed.
At the lake?
Yes, we are.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 2 days before my birthday.
I know. It always is.
I know. One day it was on my birthday,
yes.
Remember?
Yes.
We had fun.
So we'll have to coordinate some birthday activities with that. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any thoughts on who you think it will be?
Who's going
to
win? No, but I'm hoping. I like the 49ers.
Yeah.
And I like, of the teams that are there.
Yeah.
And I don't even know who they are really now, but I know that the Green Bay Packers are one of the teams. So I like Green Bay. I like the 49ers. And I don't really like the Tennessee Titans, but because I'm not into those newfangled teams, but I think they played well, and I wouldn't mind if they were in it either. So who's the other one that's in?
Kansas City Chiefs, I think.
Oh, and I like them too, so whoever. I'll root for any of them.
They are my faves.
The Chiefs I like because I love Andy Reid.
Yeah, that's
because exactly he's a Philly guy, and yep. And I just think he was the greatest man, and that Mahomes is unbelievable. He really is. So anyone can win, I don't care. And then we'll see what happens.
I don't either, as long as it's not the New England Patriots.
They're not.
Really
they're. And I'm happy. Sad about the Philly, the Eagles. That was a you-know-what show.
Yeah.
I felt bad.
But I just think it's time for others to be in
Well,
the
yeah,
Super
and this
Bowl.
Is, these people haven't, well, they haven't been around for a while, have they?
No, they
Titans
haven't.
Titans have never, have they?
No, I don't know if they've never, but they have not been there in the last 10 years for sure. But they are, and do you know that's an interesting thing about the Tennessee Titans? Their head coach.
That young guy?
No, their head coach used to be Mike Munchak.
Oh, I do know that.
Yes.
I remember that.
And then he went with
back to the
where is Fangio.
He? Yes, we're
from Denver.
Denver.
He's now a coach with him.
Mm-hmm. And that guy's from Dunmore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool that they carried them both out there.
But who's the guy? The guy who won the Green Bay coach? He's like, isn't he a young?
Yes.
Younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like him too.
And I don't know if I want to say this is his first season.
I think it is.
He actually got them to the playoffs, and mm-hmm. it's pretty awesome.
Because wasn't McCarthy with mm-hmm. Green Bay? So, yeah, mm-hmm. it is. And isn't McCarthy now at Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
God, who would go there?
Yeah, you got to keep track. It's like
who
a dance
would go
card.
There?
Who's going?
These poor guys, though. What's going to happen to that dude who got fired from Dallas?
I don't know.
He becomes
he's
a commentator
already,
or what?
He's already in talks with other teams who fired coaches. They just reshuffle them. That's
that.
All they do is reshuffle the same
ones. I know,
ones.
But it's really, you don't have, there's no job security at
no,
all.
No, there's not. There really isn't. Even
well,
if
they
you
make
bring your
money,
teams
I guess that's
to the playoffs, it's not enough.
Yeah.
You just never know.
Well, we'll see.
So we will see what
I like
happens.
What's his name, and I don't even know where he is now. I think he might be with the Raiders. the guy who was with the Buccaneers, the Gruden, is that his name?
Oh,
that
Gruden.
John
yeah, he's over with the, I'm going to call them the Oilers. That's not
no,
what they
No, I just said the They're, Raiders.
The
Isn't
Raiders.
He with Oakland?
Yes, Oakland, that's what I meant.
Now
Oakland,
listen, all
Oilers.
You men listening to us now, aren't you very impressed
you should
with
be.
Two hey boomers knowing all of this information? sports talk about football.
And both of us were well trained by our fathers.
That's correct. I told you that Big
yes.
Jim used to say, sit down, you're watching the game. I go, I don't want to watch. He said, you're not going to be a woman who doesn't understand this game and
That's
can
right.
have a conversation. And you know what? I'll give it to him. I make better calls than Meyer, who played football sometimes. I'm like the armchair referee, you know?
Yeah, I do the same thing. I do that with Patrick. I say, no, that was not pass interference. That was not. And I'm so glad he challenged it because he's going to win. And come back, boom.
Yep. Well, the pass interference one is tough because
it
not
is.
Only do you get the penalty, but you get it at the where the infraction occurred, and then you get an automatic first down, too.
Yeah, it's
That's
it's tough.
Wild. Some of these new terms they're using for offsides, though.
Yeah, what is that?
What are these?
Neutral zone
infraction.
Stop. Just say offsides.
Just do your hands on your hips, and that's it. Or whatever, rolling your hands.
Oh, but they got another one, too.
And they have a ton of different.
Neutral zone.
Wait, but what about didn't it used to be hands on your hips?
For that,
offsides.
I don't remember that one.
And then now they roll it, I don't know. It's become a theatrical performance, those guys, the refs.
Is. And we won't get into the baseball thing with the hand signals.
Oh, I don't know any of that. None. And you know what also is funny? It's a typical West Side line.
What?
I'll watch a game, and if the refs make a bad call, I'm like, they pay the refs.
Oh,
that was what we used to say in West Side when they didn't get a good call. Oh, the refs are being paid.
Oh, yeah. Well, who knows?
So,
how about this guy who was just told that he was going to be the chief referee for the Super Bowl game? They pick them every year. You know,
who's
the
number
one? Just imagine the pressure on that man. Just imagine. There's one woman.
I was just going to say, that's the problem that you said, man. Can't a woman ever do that?
Yeah, because there is one or two women who are refs. But I don't know what happened to her. She seems to have disappeared. Unless
we just
don't see her anymore.
I like that one guy, though. He's a cutie.
Yeah, Hockley. That's the guy who's my fave. Mr. Hockley. He's really good. But anyway, we digress. One thing I want to talk about was something that came from an AARP bulletin, my favorite spot. And there's a new phrase going around. I want you to hear it because it'll be the new thing now for diets and everything else. It's called blue zones. Are you familiar with it?
Blue zones?
Yeah.
No.
Well, blue zones is a place where people live longer and better.
Oh, okay, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And so what they're doing is trying to extract from those blue zones.
What they do.
What do they do? Exercise-wise, mm-hmm. eating-wise.
I think it's climate, though.
And it's interesting. So the definition is that these places have the lowest rate of middle-aged mortality or the highest concentration of centenarians mm-hmm. on their continent.
Unbelievable.
In places where people live the longest, they're not being tempted to do the things that make us sick in America. They live in an environment that sets them up for success. They're nudged into movement every 20 minutes or so. They don't have mechanized conveniences, and every time they work or visit friends, they walk. They also have a vocabulary for purpose. And in Okinawa, which is one of the places, right. they don't have a word for retirement. They talk about ikigai, which means why I wake up in the morning. People think of themselves as being useful into their 90s and even hundreds. In Costa Rica, the phrase plan de vida or life plan. In blue zones, the older you get, the more revered you are. It's not like, okay, Grandma.
Which it should be.
You've worked your whole life, put your feet up. It's more like, Grandma, we need you. We honor your decades of wisdom. Or, okay, boomer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So in this guy's new book, The Blue Zones Kitchen, you talk about the importance of eating a largely plant-based diet, which we've been hearing about for the last 5 years. The main foods you see in every blue zone are greens, grains, tubers, nuts, and beans. It's the peasant diet. And then they asked, what's his favorite recipe? And he said, Sardinian minestrone. I got it from the Melissus, the Guinness World Record holder for the longest living family. Every day they have the same lunch, sourdough bread, mm-hmm. a small glass of red Canino wine, and a bowl of minestrone.
I love it.
They go on to talk about all this stuff, and it's just fascinating that with all the wealth that exists in this country, it buys us sickness.
Well,
fast food, you know, all that kind of stuff. These people make the time to actually eat things that are good for them. Interesting.
Well, I do say, and I do find this, that I think when I grew up, and I know you did, I think it's important when your family has intergenerational experiences
yeah.
all the time because mm-hmm. you not only respect your elders and your grandparents and therefore honor in some way what they bring to the table. And in our family, we had not only my grandmother, who was my mother's mother, who lived with me since I was five, but my Uncle Jerry, who was my grandmother's youngest brother, who lived till he was 94. My grandmother lived till she was 92. And I and her other siblings lived. My other uncle was 90 some when he died. He was the second youngest. And I think when you like the Chinese and Japanese and those families where the head of, you know, the elders are respected and you don't think, all we say here is, okay, retirement, where we plan for retirement, do this, get this. It's all that end result thing. And yep. I think that that's the difference. It's a mindset. If you don't think about it
sure
and
is.
You don't play it up, people will just continue to think you're as relevant as you were. And not because you're getting older, you're not.
Yeah.
And I think we need we all need to make a conscious effort as we, the boomers here, age. We need to do that because there's no reason. I mean, I remember thinking of things, and we talk about this all the time. Those of us we'll talk about it because we have to take a break because I'm blabbing on, but I'll tell you when we get back. Okay. So you're listening to Lori and Lynn Show. We'll be right back.
It's Saturday morning with Lori and Lynn. Now, back to Lori and Lynn.
Good morning.
Hi.
My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC. That's a financial planning firm designed specifically for the needs of baby boomer women. And I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse. And that's available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and tons of other places.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising PR and special event business. And as I was saying before, I know I've said this a million times. When I was in the banking world as a young kid, I looked at these women and men and thought, that's exactly what I want to do when I get older. And I want to stay in this banking world, and I want to do this, and I can't wait till I get that. And I revered those people and mm-hmm. wanted to learn from them and be around them and understand what it is that you do to get there. And I took my time. I didn't just expect that it was supposed to be because I wanted it. I wanted it, and I was willing for it to be my turn when it was my turn, or to be lucky enough to have that opportunity. That isn't the case now. And that's the difference, I think, in how we were trained versus what's going on now. And I don't know where ambition? I don't want to even use that term. That entitlement. Mm-hmm. I think that's the word in general, is entitlement.
Yeah.
All the way around.
Now, I think that the fact is that there is so much of an expectation of the generation that we nurtured, we'll call them the millennials, that things have to happen immediately because it is the way...
Instant gratification.
It is the way we are fed information. We don't have to go look it up.
Well, that's probably true. It's not their fault
either.
It's
instantaneous.
Right. It's just how we didn't have that.
We didn't. That's my point.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't have it.
So they have everything at their fingertips to get instant info.
And the expectations built around that is their life will occur as well.
That's correct.
So what I'm saying about all that is that when you look at people who expect things to happen tomorrow versus our generation who understood that there is time involved in building something, whether it's a career, whether it's relationships, whatever it is, we knew that there were certain expectations society had of us, that we had to be patient, we had to learn to wait, we had to do whatever it is. And especially the fact that we lived in multi-generational homes, we saw older people and learned compassion. We learned
relevance.
Patience and relevance.
Yeah.
You know, we would go to them to ask for information and advice. And many times it was not necessarily the same advice we got from our parents. And again, it was that time where they had to sit and reflect on their own lives that made them look at things a little bit differently and not as reactive maybe as our parents were. They would say, oh, it doesn't make that much difference in the long run, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I think more importantly, too, you talked about role models with your grandmothers and whatever. I recall that I was 16 years old when my great-grandmother on my father's side died.
Wow.
So until that time, she was notorious. I mean, she had a reputation in West Scranton that was just beyond, much bigger than her.
Who was she, your mother or your father's?
My father's, Beatrice.
Grandmother.
My father's grandmother.
Right.
Beatrice Evans. Okay?
B,
that's it. Aunt B, or Grandma B. Okay. So I think I've said this before, she lived in the area in West Scranton where they had that block of funeral homes, mm-hmm. and she'd work the funeral homes because she already knew everybody in there.
Right.
Or if she didn't know the person who was deceased, she knew the family. Mm-hmm. So she'd always go in there. So that's how everybody got to know her, not because she was on social media.
Yeah. That was her social media.
That's right.
Yeah.
So there was this awareness of how important building relationships was to her success as a human being, because she lived in an apartment and she did not want to live with anybody else. So because she was independent and because of the way her lifestyle was, if B didn't show up for things, somebody thought about it.
Right.
You know, there was an accountability that
everybody
just assumed.
Was accountable.
Yes.
Right.
And so people took care of each other, they watched out for each other, and they respected each other's space and whatever it was. So when she would come to our house for Christmas dinner or whatever the event was, and there would be four generations in the house, it was really bizarre because there was such an awareness of the depth of these relationships and how whatever she knew when she was a child, she was first generation here from Wales. So when she was here and what she learned and passed on to the other generations was really funny, because we would get to certain points where I would say something to her about something that was Welsh or someone that I thought was Welsh, and she would have none of it. She'd say, that person's not Welsh. I'd say, we called him Nanny. I said, Nanny, why? Well, just look at her, just look at him, or
see,
just look
isn't
at
that
the
amazing?
Way. Yeah. So she would deny the people that we thought were Welsh, but in her world, it just wasn't possible. So you listen to the stories and you listen to what, in my day, da 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 da. And, you know, I was saying to a friend the other day that one of the worst experiences as a child was the Welsh have this thing called a gamanfagani, which is a song fest. And at certain times in the spring, they would have these gamanfaganis on a Sunday afternoon, and they would sing in Welsh. And all the people in the area would come to a church, and they would start to sing these songs. And they asked us as young kids to be the ushers. So they would dress us up in traditional Welsh clothing, which for the girls was black long skirt, white blouse, and a shawl and a hat.
And did you eat Welsh cookies?
No, we had to. Well, yeah, afterwards we did.
Yeah.
Afterwards we did. But
best.
We would have to walk down the aisle and pass the whatever they call them. It's not the hat, but it's the thing. You know,
the basket.
They mm-hmm. put the money in, and we had to do that. So we'd take the gifts, I guess as they call them, up to the front after it was all over, and they would start to sing a song of thanks. My grandmother was a great grandmother was always in the last row, and she
belted,
never sing on key, but everybody knew that she was there because she would sing so loud.
I love it.
And my sister and I were so mortified because we knew.
Because you knew, everyone knew she was your great grandmother.
Yes. But the point is, you would never say anything to her.
No.
You know, out of respect.
You're rolling your eyes at each other, but you're not.
But you never say anything.
And I think that's what some of these other countries do well.
Yes.
Is that's continued through every generation. And it's made to be respected and important. And I think, like, even with my sister, and you're in that same category, my sister doesn't have children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for her to be very close to her nieces and nephews. And my children are very close to her.
Yes.
And it's important for me that they continue to have that love from her, because it's different. And we grew up with my mother's sisters not being in town. But we loved to see them and be with them when they came in, because it was part of that whole family structure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things change, you know, but the point is, it's always a good thing, I think, when you involve, and whether it's, you know, that old line, you can pick your friends, you can't pick your relatives.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're still your relatives. So
mm-hmm.
It's all good. And it was no different than on the Cadden side. My grandmother Cadden my uncle lived with her, but she was home until she died at 86.
Yeah.
In the same house that she raised seven children with no husband, because my grandpa died at a very young age, and she had seven children from the ages of 11 to 6 months.
Yep.
And it's amazing. And that we would go there every week and we would all be together and we would all expect things from my grandmother, and we would expect, you know, these pearls of wisdom given to us and to go to them. I say anytime you can sit with someone who is older and you can listen to their stories and the things that they can tell you and what you can learn, is one of the favorite guys I've ever learned from was Phil Condren Sr. I would see him, we would go to lunch occasionally, we'd talk on the phone, and I always tell Phil Jr. How much I adored his father, because he was so smart and so with it, and I used to love to sit with him and just take in everything mm-hmm. he would talk about. Mm-hmm. I miss those times, and you need to do that. You do. It's because older people understand and know because of what they've been through.
Yeah.
So take some time and spend it with them.
On my mom's side of the family, the Zankers, my mom was one of five. And so she pretty much took over a lot of the child raising responsibilities just to help out my grandmother, because there were four boys. So I just remember all the times that my grandmother, who was a very quiet person, she never really spoke very much, but as she got into her 80s and started slowing down a lot, she would love to just tell me stories of things, you know, of what was going on and what she remembered as a child and how difficult it was. And I don't think most of us can even comprehend or understand that level of difficulty, like you talked about your grandma.
Right. Even if
raising
you don't understand it, to know that it existed, even like washing clothes on an old washboard.
Literally.
Unbelievable. But anyway, we have to leave for this.
Yes, we have to leave.
Yes. Okay. So
it's been fun, everybody, talking about our childhood.
Yeah, here we go. So thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe, and please be nice.
Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.